Brian Hilton Motor Group, the big local. Two big locations with the largest range of new and used cars on the coast.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
Hello, legends. Welcome to the Paddy and Maz podcast. Paddy is getting a haircut. I'm just going to tell everybody and be super honest. That's why he's not here. He has his priorities, I think, the wrong way around. He would argue that that is the right way around. Anyway, in this episode of our podcast, you will find out about the cherry pie that I baked for my family over the weekend because I bought the leftovers in for producer Zach and for Paddy, and they gave me a MasterChef style critique. We also talked about the merchandise. If you're an Aldi shopper like me, love Aldi. Also love Costco. Never been there, but I reckon I'll like it. Anyway, merchandise in the middle aisle that Aldi have just released in the Isle of Dreams. Producer Zach has opted in. We wanted to know if he should continue to opt in or heavily opt out on the Aldi merchandise. We played a game with Paddy called Shakespeare or Taylor Swift. It's pretty complicated. I just read out some lyrics and then Paddy had to tell me if they were something that Shakespeare had written or Taylor Swift had written. He was actually good at the game, which is really annoying because it's more fun when Paddy fails. And then we also talked to our lovely listeners about the eye-watering amounts of money they have spent on their dear doggies and kitties to keep them with us. And it's a lot of cash. Oh, and Victoria Beckham is 50. She had a birthday party. We talked about that too. Enjoy the podcast.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
It was a little bit chillier this morning. That's why I'm wearing this hoodie.
Yeah, it's a thin hoodie. It's not a thick material at all. It's a lightweight hoodie.
Feels cheap.
What?
Because it was.
You said it. Not because you make it look cheap, mate. Not because of that at all. The reason that I know just from looking at you that it was cheap is because it's actually an Aldi product, as in it has the Aldi logo on the hoodie, and you have bought into the Aldi merchandise that I saw a couple of weeks ago in the Isle of Dreams at my local Aldi.
Yes, and look, I was looking through the aisles. You know, they have magical aisles in Aldi.
Oh, my God, the middle
whatever
aisle.
You want, really.
You could just spend so much time and you could just stock your house full of so much stuff you don't really need, but it feels like you need it.
Yeah.
If it's in that middle aisle, there's a sense of urgency on it.
Yeah. So I bought this and it was $15, this hoodie. It cost me a lot of money, $15.
It looks like it was $15.
Yeah, it feels like it. And look, they had slides next to them. They had shoes.
Yeah, they've got a sneaker range now.
Yep.
So this is all branded with the Aldi logo. So yep. Aldi are doing merchandise. They had T-shirts. Knockoff Stanley Cups.
Yep.
Maybe a couple of other things too.
Yeah, heaps of stuff.
I've never seen it before at Aldi. I feel like this is a new thing by them. And I wasn't sure when I saw it a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I'm not sure if this is awesome or embarrassing.
Now, the merch is called Aldi Mania.
Aldi Mania.
Aldi Mania merch. Yeah. And I was about this close to getting slides
that
as well.
That doesn't work on the radio.
I was about very close to getting slides as well till Jenna said, mate, come on.
So your girlfriend.
She gave me the kibosh.
She's not impressed with this purchase of yours.
No, she barely wanted me to get this. She said, if I'm out in public with you and you're wearing this shirt or jumper, I should say, I'm going to disown you. And I said, come on.
All it's going to take. They need, first of all, Aldi, if you're listening, please do dog vests because I just had a thought.
Coming into winter.
Oh my gosh.
Perfect.
Happy would rock the Aldi merch. What about a dog puffer jacket?
Yes,
an
why
Aldi
not?
Dog puffer jacket I would definitely buy. Here's the thing.
Yes.
When I saw it, and please, I would love to know your thoughts. 133353, give us a call. If you're an Aldi shopper, if you've spotted the merch, are you in on the merchandise or do you think it's not a great idea? You can also text us your opinion on 0482 081077. We've got Donna in Tumby this morning. Hello.
Hello. Hi. I have a son who went down and bought one of everything. Actually, two T-shirts.
One of everything. So what do you think about it, Donna? Do you think it's good stuff?
I'd only wear it at home.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't wear it out. And
yeah.
Out.
But is he wearing it out? Like, is he, what does he do?
Well, he works from home and he plays in dark rooms. So, you know, like nobody sees him anyway.
I have no further questions.
Oh, okay. So he's wearing it in secret is what you're saying. So maybe I should also do the same?
Well, He just likes a bargain, I think. That's what Audi's all about.
That's actually true, Donna, because can you get a hoodie anywhere else for $15?
Probably not.
No. They are hoodies and stuff are very expensive.
Yeah, clothing is expensive. The cost of living is outrageous. I just love that your son has purchased these items, but no one, but he will not be seen in public.
Oh, he left them all out on display when we got home from work. He was like, look, I bought all these from our office.
So he's proud enough to show it off, but not proud enough to wear it out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He's 25-year-old son, not 15. Like.
Yeah, right.
Is there really that much difference between a 15 and a 25-year-old son? I mean,
probably not.
Still making the same choices. Mark in Springfield, good morning.
Good morning, Mazzy. How are you?
Oh, we're fumbling through without Paddy this morning, mate.
Where is he?
Oh, I think he's feeling a bit crook.
Have you got no headache this morning, Mark? You're all good this morning. You would be, wouldn't you?
I'm great, mate. I'm a little bit empty at the moment because I've got no one to put my bowel movements on.
Well, that's fair enough, Mark. Now, look, I'm wearing Aldi merch today. Are you for it or against it, mate?
I'm really against it. Imagine dressing your kids up, giving up all the night gear and the name brand and dressing him from head to toe in Aldi gear. I can't wait to have a grandson.
Well, look, Mark, I'm taking everyone's opinion on board, so I'll take that on board, and it looks like I'm not going to be wearing it in the future.
Mate, keep it just around the house and painting or doing all the crap jobs, and then you'll be wearing crap clothes.
Yeah, look, you're probably right there, Mark. You're probably right. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for your call this morning, mate.
Thanks, Mark.
Have a nice day. Bye, Mazzy.
Bye, mate.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
Mazzy, our very own Julie Goodwin, she had her official book launch yesterday. The book is called, the memoir is called Your Time Starts Now. There's a launch today, the Central Coast launch at Kincumber Library at 6:30 tonight. She joins us to talk about this book. Julie Goodwin, morning.
Hello,
Julie.
Hello, Julie. Hi.
It's so nice to talk to you.
It is so good to have you again on Triple M, Jules, and your book, Your Time Starts Now. I've been reading some of the excerpts. No one would have knew what happened earlier on, hey?
No, and I think that's the case for a lot of people. You know, we go through things and you put them away. The problem is that they don't always stay away and that can cause some issues for you down the track.
Now, Julie, what inspired, I guess, a memoir at this season in your life? You're so obviously well-known, you're well-accomplished, but I feel like you've got so many more things to do. And so why a memoir in this season? You're not done yet.
I've been asked before. It's like, how can you write a memoir before you're well dead?
Well, I didn't want to say it like that, but that was my question.
Well, I mean, the response to that is how do you know when the end of your life's going to be to write it all?
Yeah. It's true.
The reason for doing it now, you know, is because I've had some amazing and wonderful things happen in my life. I've got story to tell, you know, that people enjoy hearing about MasterChef and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
But the reason for putting it all together into a book now is because the hard stuff, it all culminated in, you know, in the olden days you would have called it a nervous breakdown, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Not that they don't use that language anymore, but I actually think it's quite a useful way to put it because it's neat and everyone gets what you mean.
Yeah.
And when I spoke about that, I spoke about it twice publicly. Once was when I left the radio and once was when I was on MasterChef in season 14. And the outpouring of responses from those two revelations really floored me, especially after MasterChef because, it had such a huge national sort of audience. And the messages I was getting from people saying, thank you for saying that out loud. I've been trying to find a way to say that to my family.
Wow.
You know, Nick had guys he's known since he went to school say to him, tell your wife thank you because I've struggled with that for the past 10 years. And he's like, Julie, I didn't know. And so many people, we were just saying, how can this many people be struggling with this thing and nobody knows? And I know that we're all talking about it more. It's marvellous, you know, it really is. But I still think we've got to overcome that sort of feeling within ourselves that you shouldn't complain and you shouldn't, you know, there's always someone worse off than you and you've got to be grateful and you've got, which you do have to be grateful and count your blessings, but you also need to be able to say, something's wrong here, I'm not coping, and be able to do that without feeling ashamed about it. And so I just thought, if that was the outpouring from one speaking one sentence on one episode of a TV show, then maybe this conversation really needs to be cracked open.
Absolutely.
And Julie, I think your book, Your Time Starts Now, your memoir, talking about that early sexual abuse to mental health, and then people going, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I am not alone
Absolutely.
Out there.
Absolutely, yeah.
It is quite a lonely feeling, and because part of the nature of being mentally ill is that you don't know what the right thing to do. You don't and you don't want to talk to people. You don't want to feel weak. You don't want to appear to be, you know, like you can't cope with your life, you know. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to not be able to cope with your life when you've always been a capable person, and you've always seen yourself as someone who can manage everything. When the wheels fall off, it's devastating.
And as well as that, I read where you have chosen to leave your radio career, to close your cooking school, and just now to take the opportunities that pop up on an ad hoc basis.
Yeah.
so you go.
It's manageable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Life was unmanageable, completely unmanageable. I just thought, this can't be sustained, but I don't know how to stop any of it. And in the end, it stopped. It stopped for me, you know.
You know, Julie, as an overachiever myself, it is so hard to say no to stuff.
I just want to know when.
This is the bottom of the barrel right here. But it is so hard to say no and to put a boundary down and to prioritize your health and your mental health. And so you doing that for yourself and stepping that out and then putting this in a memoir is going to encourage and help people put themselves on the list of things to look after. And so I just think it really is going to touch so many lives. So thank you for doing that and for being so brave as to share, you know, such a huge story and a huge part of your life.
Thank you. And that's what I hope. I hope that anybody who sort of just relates to any of those little warning signs and symptoms, or anybody who does struggle to say no or lay down boundaries or finds themselves often saying, God, why have I agreed to do that? I really can't manage that. If you relate to any of that, maybe just take a look at things before you end up at the bottom of the well.
Julie, you know what? You're very brave, I think, in doing this.
Absolutely.
In
huge.
Releasing everything about your life. It's Your Time Starts Now, out where you buy good books, which is everywhere, I could imagine,
all
or online.
Good bookstores.
Yes. And tonight, Kincumber Library. Can anyone rock up, Jules?
I think it's a ticketed event.
So, okay.
To just jump onto Penguin's website.
Oh, okay, right. You can get there.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right, well, hope it goes well. Like everything you've done, my God, you've done TV, radio, books. How many cookbooks have you put out?
I've got 7 out.
Seven out.
That's amazing. Geez.
Does Mick, your husband, say, what are you doing today, Julie? Probably nothing.
Hey, Julie, next time we have you on the show, can you please come in? Because I made a cherry pie on Monday and I bought it in for the boys yesterday and they both loved it.
Yeah,
and
we did.
I would love to make you my cherry pie.
Well, call that a date.
Okay.
Yes.
Julie Goodwin, thank you very much. The book, Your Time Starts Now, is out right now. Jules, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, and if anything during that interview has been triggered with you, give Lifeline a call.
Yeah, you can call them on 13 11 14.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
For everybody in the studio, everybody listening, not so much, but we'll tell you about it. Mm. So yesterday I decided, it's something that I've been doing on Monday afternoons, I'm calling it Mental Health Monday afternoons, I've been baking pies. Sounds so random. From scratch. So I make pastry, put the filling in, chuck it in the oven, do the whole bit. Yesterday, I haven't done one for a couple of weeks, but yesterday I decided to make a cherry pie from scratch. So I made the pastry, chucked the cherries in with all the bits and pieces, whacked it in the oven, and I've bought some in because there were some leftovers. So Glenn and I had a little slice-o last night, bought some in for Patty. Zach's got a slice as well. I've got some here.
And you bought a tub of thickened cream.
And I did buy some cream.
Do you want cream on yours?
Thank you to the lovely gentleman at the service station that I got that from this morning on the way in.
I did use a look at the expiry date, 4th of May.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. So there you go. I thought, why not? And because, you know, we've been doing lots of homemade stuff. Yeah. So I made butter the other week.
Yeah.
which is a bit random, from scratch. Glenn makes sourdough. We do our own pizza bases. I just think we just, I don't know, it's good. What do you think? Tell me your thoughts. Taste test.
Maserati.
Here we go.
I really, anything for free, I never knock back.
And that I know for sure.
So?
And anything really, anything food related,
I love.
Generally enjoy.
I really do. Now, did you use, with it, you didn't use those glazed cherries that you get at Christmas time.
Not the
They're
glazed cherries.
Aren't they horrendous?
You love know. A glazed cherry on a trifle.
No,
love
I can't,
a glazed
I can't,
cherry
I cannot
on a trifle.
Eat them.
Oh, you only need a couple. Cut them in half, stick them on the top of the trifle with the flaked almonds.
So now these ones, these cherries, they from the
These
can?
Are Morello cherries.
There's nothing wrong with that. And the pastry is so nice.
And that's all homemade. So there you go.
That is really nice.
Add it to the list of things that I can do. Make a pie.
Zaki, did you try yours?
No. What's wrong with you? Why not? Oh, it's in the studio. Why don't you come in then?
Yeah.
Oh, you just
rat bag.
Just
but seriously.
Hanging out there.
Maz, I thought at one stage, I looked at it and I thought, oh.
There's got to be an investigation into this. Someone's got to be accountable for this.
And you are through to the next round.
Thank you.
And tomorrow, as we talk to Julie Goodwin.
Oh, yes, we can give her a review.
We can let her know. She might have a cherry pie recipe.
Oh, I would love to. If she has a cherry pie recipe, I would love to try it out. What do you think, Zaccaroni?
Thanks for the mic. Yep. Yeah, it's bloody delicious.
Delicious. Right. Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, you wouldn't get a job on MasterChef with a review like that, but that's okay.
I'll give you an apron. next round.
He's one of the grubby bloody judges that they kicked off. Now, what's for tomorrow? This is today.
Oh, hang on. No. This is not turning into what's Maz baking for everybody every single day.
Oh, right.
It's just a Monday thing that I do most Mondays. And today I decided to actually bring it in and share it with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
this is a once offer.
You're done.
Next Tuesday.
No, next year.
Oh.
All right. Okay.
Better save it this pie.
It's really nice. Well done, Mazzy. Well done. Paddy and Maz, the podcast. Okay, Maserati, what are you talking about?
My new favourite person.
Oh, yes, thank you. Stop it. Stop
no,
it.
Stop not it. You.
God,
no.
Why?
It is somebody who I found on the internet. He is a gentleman.
Yeah.
He is 73 years old.
Oh, that's a bit old.
His name is Igor.
What has Igor done?
And he has become a little bit internet famous because at 73 years old, he has impressed people with his incredible skateboarding ability.
At 73, a bloody madman.
He has been riding skateboards since 1981. Igor. And there is a recent video of him, and he's in this really dapper, like granddad-esque outfit. And he is absolutely shredding on a sidewalk on his skatey, and he is still skating at 73. And it's inspired me because I do often go down to the netball courts whilst Henry is on his scooter, and I do see some of the mums and the dads skateboarding around, and I thought, am I too old to start skating?
No, no.
And now I think,
no,
I'm not. I should start.
Make
Now's
sure you
a
do.
Great time to start skateboarding.
And then we can talk about what happened at Gosford Hospital when you went to the emergency section of your first skate.
I reckon I've got great balance.
Yeah.
I've got a good centre of gravity because I'm quite short.
Bit klutzy though you are.
I'm not that klutzy.
This board that Igor's riding looks about 73 years of age as well. Seriously.
Yeah, it's one of
Don't
his original skaties.
Unless you've got bubble wrap around you.
I think I'm going to.
Be careful.
Igor has inspired me. I will wear the safety gear.
Okay, make sure you do.
But what a legend.
Well done, Igor.
Still skating at 73.
Just quickly too, Robert Irwin has had a snail named after him.
A snail?
A snail, yeah, just quickly, yeah. They found this.
Is this in the jungle?
No, four new species in Queensland.
Oh.
Four new species of mollusk in new research. They called it the Figuladra Robert E. Winnie. Oh, that's what they call the snail. That's quickly. That wasn't
so
my what you're talking
about.
They
found a new species of snail.
Yeah, and they've named one after him.
Did they get his permission? Because if
that'd be good to have a snail.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Of all the animals.
Curse wish I was named after a snail, instead of a rabbit. But just quickly, I want to tell you about the world's top-selling electric ute, once spruiked by climate change minister Chris Bowen. As running like you wouldn't believe.
We love electric cars, but they're just so expensive. Tell me this is cheap.
No, it'll set tradies back $280,000.
For a car?
For a ute. The Ford F-150 Lightning is now available in Australia, having been converted to right-hand drive, and it will set you back anywhere, standard model, $224,000 to $280,000. And I believe if your builder is driving one of these Ford F-150s, they are charging you too much. Seriously.
Well, no 200... apprentices will be able to afford that.
No, imagine apprentices driving.
For 280 grand, tell me that it knows how to use a nail gun and you could put it to work on the job site. What,
it would, wouldn't you? You'd want that to happen.
You'd want it to.
Very much so. Paddy and Maz, the podcast. Thank you to Brian Hilton, who are big on used cars. They don't have Formula One, but they have everything else apart from Formula Ones, don't they?
They sure do. With Brian Hilton, you can gain access to over 400 used cars on the coast. Visit brianhilton.com.au to view all of their stock, and you can browse by make, model or budget.
And what they do also, they buy used cars. So if you're looking to sell your car hassle-free, submit your details online and visit one of their dealerships for an obligation-free valuation.
Yeah, they accept all makes and models as well. So whether you're buying or selling, the big local has you covered.
Damn straight. Paddy and Maz, the podcast. Look, this, what would you save? Australian pet owners, what would fork out? An eye-watering amount before putting your pet down.
I don't even want to think about it because Happy, our dog, is like, he's a family member.
Yeah. Oh, and I just, like your kids.
I just don't even want to, I just hope we never have to go down this road.
They did a finder survey and 94% would spend money on their pet before considering other options. And of the Aussies willing to spend, the average amount they'd fork out is $6,219. How they came up with that amount, I don't know, to save their furry friend. My sister did.
How much money did she spend?
She spent, I think it was close to 10.
10
grand. And when her dog, it was a border collie, had cancer and got chemotherapy.
Yeah.
But only 3 months.
Is that how long? The extra time that you get. Because if you get the C-bomb diagnosis for a doggy, it doesn't look good.
She thought she'd it was that bad of that amount. And Dan, give us a call, Dan, mate. What would you spend 133353 on your dogs? How much have you spent?
Yeah, well, Cheryl's called through from Tookley. Hey, Cheryl.
Morning, Cheryl.
Hi. How are you going?
Yeah, not good, too bad. What was the amount that you spent on your little fur baby?
$16,000.
$16,000.
Ouch.
And plus my daughter spent $9,000 on hers.
Oh my goodness. What can I ask? What was it, a doggy?
Yes, both dogs. Both the Staffy was $16,000, and he decided to chew up a golf ball and it got stuck everywhere.
Oh no.
So it was $16,000 to go
surgery.
In, get into the intestines and take it out.
Yeah, he was at Thrash for a few days in intensive care.
Oh, my goodness.
So had you not paid the $16,000, he would have passed away from that?
Absolutely, yeah. Straight away he would have gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did you know when you went to the vet about it, did they tell you, because normally they tell you the price straight up, did they do that?
Well, they just gave us prices as the days went along, and we just had to keep finding the money as the days went along.
Oh, so you didn't even know how much it was going to cost?
Not at all.
And then they rang you and said, hey, listen, little fella's in intensive care. That's going to be whatever for the day.
Yeah, we need some more money before we continue to treat.
Oh, dear.
Did you have pet insurance?
Yeah, no.
No pet insurance.
Not at all.
Can I recommend pet insurance?
Do you do that?
We've got pet insurance, and because our dog Happy was diagnosed with epilepsy, so we had to take him in for a few vet visits and some blood tests and bits and pieces, and we got a lot of it back from the pet insurance.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we did.
What, how much
and
is
his
it?
Meds as well. Oh, $50 a month, possibly.
Oh, that's not too bad.
It's not
compared
it's
to
not
private health cover. Bloody hell.
It is.
And what about the $9,000, Cheryl? What happened with that?
That was my daughter's French bulldog because of its breathing.
Oh,
and
they have breathing problems, the Frenchies,
they have,
don't they?
Yeah, he was poorly bred. But if she hadn't have done that surgery, he would have died.
Oh, no.
See, that is the tough decision, isn't it? They go, if you don't have this, and you just do, just go, I'm going to save the dog. And
absolutely. Absolutely.
It's almost worth having the conversation if you're going to get a pet in a family.
Yeah, like, what's going to happen?
What's the budget? of, do you know what I mean? Like, or yeah, at least having an emergency fund maybe of money set aside as a bit of a just in case. Because if you're in that situation and you don't have the money or you can't find the money, that's a really heartbreaking decision to have to make. That's so full on.
Yeah, it definitely is. But luckily for us, we've got both of them still.
Oh, that is
you're
really
lucky,
good news.
Cheryl. Well, and the doggies are very lucky too.
And Cheryl, what would you have gone to? Honestly, would there be an amount where you go, like if it, say, got to 20,000 and they rang and said, oh, there's another few days in intensive care, what would you have had to say, take those few more days?
I really couldn't. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
It's like I've gone that far. Do I keep going?
Yeah, 100%.
The moral of this story, everyone, is get your kids to study hard and become a vet. Okay, that's the moral of this.
Yes. And the moral of the story to dogs is choose a rich family.
Yeah. And the moral of the story is don't chew bloody golf balls, dogs, you mongrels. Cheryl, thank you very much for giving us a call.
All right, bye.
Paddy and Maz, the podcast.
Well, this is very exciting. It was Vicky Beckham's 50th birthday over the weekend. That's Victoria Beckham. That's Posh Spice for those playing at home.
Yes.
And one video out of the party that David Beckham reportedly spent millions of dollars on.
On this party?
Millions of dollars on the party. God. And the guest list was quite extravagant. Salma Hayek was there. Tom Cruise was there.
Wow.
There are a lot of very famous people at this soiree. And every single Spice Girl from the Spice Girls was there. And
that was my next question.
They were all there. And the video, this is fantastic, is of David Beckham. You know how you do a selfie?
Yep.
And it's a video. Mm-hmm. And so you're in the front of the video and then you're filming what's going on behind you. So David Beckham's doing the selfie video with all of the Spice Girls in a line doing the stop dance to stop. Thank you very much. It is just the greatest thing. So both David and Victoria posted that video to their social media and it has just gone absolutely nuts all around the world. People are like, thank you so much. Finally, the reunion we've all been waiting for. It looked like a really fun party.
It is an iconic dance, that one. A lot of people know that one.
Oh, mate, it's one of the, they were just the greatest. It was, they were just everything 90s that was great. I think you can wrap up in the Spice Girls and all of their music.
100%. And when you hear this, Maz, let me start it now. Here we go. Yep, there we are.
Yeah, now this is a TV drama. Mm.
Law and Order.
Law and Order. That's what I was going to say.
SVU.
Special Victims Unit.
Correct. Now, I love Mariska Hargitay. She's been in that show.
Who?
Mariska Hargitay.
I haven't really seen Law and Order.
Okay, she's the main, the lead in that show.
Like lead detective, or is she like a judge or a
lead
thing?
Lead detective.
A thing.
Yeah, I think. She plays Olivia Benson, who's the main detective.
Okay, she's a detective.
Yeah, she's played her since 1999.
Stop it.
Yeah, long-running series.
Yeah.
And they get paid a mozzarella on this show,
too. I bet they do.
Yeah, so a recent story about her. So she's obviously a detective. She's played a cop for a long time. And she was filming in a park in New York, because that's where they're based.
Probably Central Park?
No, it wasn't actually. I thought it would be, but it's Fort Tryon Park.
Never heard
of all
of
places.
It.
I was like, it's got to be Central Park,
right?
It's
like the second biggest park in New York.
Yeah, probably. Now, there was a bit of a mishap. They were filming there, and a little girl ran up to her asking, she'd lost her mum. And she's like, can you help me find my mum? Can you help me find my
mum? Oh, that wasn't part of the TV script.
She thought she was a real cop.
Oh, bless her.
Yes.
What did she do?
Well, they ended up, you know, they stopped filming. They, you know, did all that. And they helped this little girl find their mum. And they found her mum eventually.
That's really sweet.
But she was like, just getting confused for a cop. Because so many people, she's dressed as a cop, right? She's
got
the badge. She's got the detective outfit on.
So the little girl didn't think, oh, all of these cameras and the 30-odd crew and someone. I guess little kids don't see that.
Probably
they
didn't
just
understand it,
And if you've lost your parent, you're in fight or flight mode. You're highly strung.
Oh,
so
man.
You see a police person and you just go, can you help me find my mum, please?
Yeah, and I lost my mum in Woolworths once and I nearly.
Did you lose your mum or did your mum lose you?
She weirdly left me on purpose, I think. But no, it's a very distressing thing as a child,
100%.
Losing your parents, especially in a park.
What aisle did she find you in?
Oh, well, I had to run around fine. I went to the front and had to do a...
Oh, you did the announcement.
Kelly,
oh.
Your son Zach is looking for you.
Kelly.
Then she sauntered up to the thing and thinking, oh, here he is.
Bless her.
So she tried, I think she maybe tried to leave me there on purpose.
Maybe. I would have.
Oh, so nice of you. Paddy and Maz,
the podcast. Here he is. The bloody legend that is Nathan Foley. Good morning, Ledge.
I'm like Nathan.
How are you, mate?
Oh, mate, I had a massive night last night singing at the Ace Awards, so I've kind of just woke up. But
Sorry about that.
Mate, no, I'm okay. I'm all right.
Okay. He's fine.
Where were the Ace Awards?
Held down at the Cube down in Campbelltown.
Oh, right.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And what are the Ace Awards?
The Ace Awards are a live entertainment award. So I sang my butt off last night doing a John Farnham song.
Yeah.
And then did the finale. So we had the after party. It was quite wild. It's a crazy week this week for me. But
did you get nominated?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Did you win?
No.
They cheated. They were bloody. Who won? Who won the Ace Award?
I don't know.
A bunch of losers they are.
I think I was backstage getting ready to go and sing. So
Don't worry about that. Trophies are nothing, mate. Trophies are nothing. That's what we tell the kids because they never won any. So that's what we told them.
Well, and then tomorrow's another big day.
Yes!
You need to rest today because you're releasing your original song and music video, Remember, especially for Anzac Day tomorrow.
Exactly. Look, this has been sort of in the making for 2 years. I wrote this song 2 years ago and it's been sitting there. And I thought, what the hell? I'm going to put it out there. So I recorded it and did the music video all in the space of 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
And so it's due for release tomorrow. Tonight at 8 p.m., I'm going to be doing a live question and answer on my Instagram. Tomorrow morning, I'll be on Today Extra. And then, obviously, the song's going to be released at midnight tonight, the video on my YouTube channel and the song all over Spotify and iTunes and wherever you can get it. So,
Nathan, it's a well-oiled machine, the PR machine.
Let's have a listen to it. Here's Remember from Nathan. We will remember all those years ago. They sacrificed their hopes and fears, their bravery and tears. We will remember. Oh, Nathie, that is so
sounds
good.
So
that hits
great,
at the
mate.
Heart, mate.
Thanks, mate. Well, you know, like just a little background. My grandfather, I know people always go, what? This doesn't make any sense. But my grandfather actually served in both World Wars.
Oh, wow.
He enlisted underage. Obviously, he was about 50 when my mum was born. And my mum's the youngest of 8 kids. So that's why there's such a big age group. So I never actually got to meet my grandfather, but he served in both World Wars. And this is one of the reasons why I wrote the song, because I'm very patriotic when it comes to Anzac Day. And I go up to the entrance every year, and I'll be there at the entrance.
Oh, you're going to the dawn service at the entrance?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Obviously. Anthem. I've got to get up tomorrow at 3:30, which is fantastic.
It's
worse than that. But I get up and I get there, and it's just such a special moment. I think 3,000 or 4,000 people turn up, and it's just really special to me. So hence the reason why I wanted to write this song.
That's beautiful,
mate. Sensational. And it sounds brilliant, Natho.
Thanks,
mate. Really well. Really done well, mate. So,
yeah, you're awesome.
Remember, available on Nathan Foley's social media, YouTube, iTunes and Spotify from midnight tonight. And, Nate, enjoy Anzac Day tomorrow, lest we forget, and make sure this song gets played out all tomorrow and from this Anzac Day on, mate.
Yes, absolutely, mate. And bloody call me back, will you, Paddy G?
Oh, all right, okay.
He's so rude. I'm so sorry.
I owed him fifty bucks.
Is that all?
Yes, Dave. No, look, I'll be at Avoca Beach Theatre on May 18th with my Aussie show. So tickets on sale now. So you better be there.
I will be there, Nathan. I will, mate. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, bud. Paddy and Maz, the podcast. I've got a game for you.
Oh, I love games on a Wednesday.
Game without notice.
Oh, I love games without notice. I'm best at this.
You ready to go?
Love it, yes.
You're ready to go and you don't even know what it is.
Yep.
So are you across, there's this artist, she's a singer, she writes all of her own songs. Her name's Taylor Swift.
No, never heard of her.
She's probably
made out. She's done some sort of gig around the world, sell out concerts and all that.
Taylor Swift, yeah.
Yeah, she probably alleges that she's with this big hulky football player.
Hulky.
Hulky football player, plays in the NFL. They probably won the diamond
for the NFL this year.
Sounds to me like you know a little bit about Taylor Swift's personal life.
What's she done?
She's released a new album called The Tortured Poets Department. And so what I have a game for you. I'm gonna give you a quote, and I need you to tell me if it's from a Taylor Swift song on her new album or if it's from Shakespeare.
Okay. To be or not to be? That is the question, Mazzarini.
That's not the first one.
Okay.
The first quote is,
yes,
better 3 hours too soon than a minute too late. Who said that? Was that Shakespeare or was that Taylor Swift?
I think that was a Shakespeare.
You are correct. Shakespeare in The Merry Wives of Windsor.
Oh, it was The Merry Wives. I thought it was The Happy Wives. I always get those mixed up.
You wouldn't really know, would you?
Okay.
Question two.
I'm ready. Yes.
Who said this? Was this Taylor Swift or was this Shakespeare?
Yes.
And you don't. Sorry, I'll start again.
That's okay.
And you say, I abandoned the ship, but I was going down with it.
I would say that is Taylor Swift.
Correct. Taylor Swift.
Oh,
it's from So Long London, and I have the audio here.
Okay. And you say, I abandoned the ship, but I was going down with it. Right, okay.
Go.
Yeah, because I don't think Shakespeare would have travelled on many ships.
Well, I don't know either. That's a good point. Next one. How dare you think it's romantic leaving me safe and stranded?
I think that might be Taylor Swift.
It is. In her song Down Bad. Well done.
Really?
And I've got the audio here. How dare you think it's romantic
leaving me safe and stranded? So post this game, I do know Taylor Swift and Shakespeare, allegedly.
Do you think you have one final one in
you? Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
The course of true love never did run smooth.
Oh, that would be Shakespeare.
It is. It's from Midsummer Night's Dream.
What do I win?
Nothing.
Ah, jeez. And that's a wrap. If you missed Paddy and Maz this morning, get the show podcast on the Listener app. Triple M Breakfast with Paddy and Maz. Driven by Brian Hilton Motor Group, the big local. Two big locations with the largest range of new and used cars on the coast. Paddy and Maz, the podcast. Subscribe now and you'll never miss an episode.